God, heal these people. Bring to pass the desired result. Give us a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word this morning. We'll be careful to praise you, Lord, for soon and very soon we're going to be going and seeing the King and be with Him eternally. Bless, Lord, this group of people and those around the world, those that perhaps may be streaming and may archive this service. Lord, may we just have a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word this morning. We ask your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I had another song planned to sing, but Brother Terry's prayer just kind of made me think of this song. So they've got it where we can put it on the screen. Everybody should know this. Let's sing this together.
As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. Have a good place.
Second verse, up to G.
I know that I'm not wealthy, but these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, oh, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters.
This morning,
there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave
would like to come. If brothers lift the offering, if Sarah Yance, if you don't mind to come, go ahead and get ready to sing, and then Sister Tamika Brown has a song for us, so she wants to go ahead and come, be getting ready to sing next. Let's sing So You Would Know.
And how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you. Fence all around you, and how many nights must I wipe all your tears away, and how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know just how much I love you. Didn't I wake you this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? He said was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Let's sing that chorus one more time. Didn't I wake you up this morning, and you were clothed in your right mind, and didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I love.
Sister Sarah gets ready to sing. I just want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We've got some wonderful mothers here. My wife's a wonderful mother. I appreciate that. And my mother, I'm telling you what, you guys just have no idea what a mother I have. And if only one mother from the Tri-Cities is going to make it, you guys better be getting your realtor. I've had a Christian mother, and I appreciate it. I'm thankful for it.
Lord, as I seek to serve you, may you find in me what's pleasing to your heart. I leave my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars. For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace. Let my desires be overshadowed as I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where rely on my strength to be a source of hope for those in need. The only profit I would gain would be the empty honor of my deeds. But with all of self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine. Illuminated with your power, reaching souls, so you alone are glorified. So hide me behind your cross, where
Lord, satisfied with me.
Appreciate those songs this morning. Let's stand this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing In Jesus' Name We Press On.
In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name press on. Dear Lord, with the pride clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
Sing it one more time.
Yes, in Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on.
May feels that way today. In Jesus' name we press on. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon again today, if you would. Chapter 6, verse 8. Certainly want to wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day today. May God bless you in your great challenge of being the fifth gospel. Help you to fulfill it faithfully. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. And then this question, who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. So now, it's a question being asked. Who is she? Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for these things that have been inspired and written so many, many years ago. Heavenly Father, we're asking today that you would take what's here in this word and make it alive to our hearts. We know the moon has reflective light, and the moon can be able to give us enough light to be able to move around by, but it does not have power to be able to germinate seed. It does not have the power to even warm us in a cold night. So we're asking that the sun himself will quicken the word today. The moon might be able to point us in the right direction, but only the sun can quicken the life and cause it to burst out of the ground. Lord, I hold in my hand today this prayer clause, Father. You see, Lord Jesus, the needs of these saints up in Canada. I'm asking you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just minister to them, Father, according to your wisdom. Lord, we know that each of us here today have needs in our lives. Some may be more pressing than others, but yet we know that you are mindful. I pray you would visit with us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. I want to speak to you again today on fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Let's go back to the quote that we read last night that we opened up with for some of you that wasn't with us in the service. Maybe it'll help us to be able to understand a little bit more clearly of what God has before us to be able to view ourselves in His view and in His light. In the Ephesian church age, the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is His righteousness. Her attributes are His own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in Him. What He is, she is to reflect. What He has, she is to manifest. Now listen, what a challenge for us as the people of God. What He is, she is to reflect. What He has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord. And all His works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up, listen now, the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. In fact, in her is summed up the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God hath spoken it. Now, whenever we read statements like this, I'm so grateful that God had Brother Branham to put this on the end of it. How can we fathom it? How can we understand it? Though we cannot accept it by faith. And we realize that's exactly what it will take for us as believers to be able to comprehend such statements. So we know there's things that God says that He actually doesn't even expect us to fully understand while we're in time. It's totally impossible. How can we be able to understand such of what I've just read? Without supernatural presence of God to help us, we can't even do it. And God knows that, so He comes to tell us that there are things that are there, and He enlightens us to see that there's more to see about Him, but He knows that He will not illuminate us to see it, so He goes ahead and comforts us when we don't. Now that's a loving Father. But yet we know that there is so much that He desires us to see. And as I mentioned it last night, that truly what so many people get caught up into as far as doctrines and things around the message of the last day. And I reckon they figure we're going to in eternity just talk about the serpent seed for about 750 million years. And then we're going to talk about how women can't preach for 1.2 million. And then we'll talk about eternal hell. Then we'll talk about all these other things. I'm not sure exactly where they get that at, but to me that wouldn't be heaven. I don't think we're going to be talking about eternal hell. And, you know, Brother Bam never tells us that. As a matter of fact, he tells us that through eternity, he will be revealing himself. There'll be no need to preach about eternal hell and talk about all that sort of thing, because all that will be annihilated and done away with. So what are we going to talk about through eternity? The very person of God. And if you can understand it, if you are a part of Him, then as He unfolds Himself through eternity, He will be further unfolding us as we are there. I fully believe that the manifestation of this scripture here that we read, which would come to pass partially in the days of the Eastern kings when they would have a big harem, that the most favored wife, it was a common thing among many of them, that the most favored wife, the queens, the concubines, the virgins, the other women, because this particular woman pleased the king very well, they would honor her. Even though they were not that, they honored her. And you realize the churches don't really do that about the bride. The churches today don't do that about the elect of God. They make fun of them, they ridicule them, whatever. But we know one day, can you imagine, in the millennium and in the eighth day, how they will look to the bride and say how blessed she is. What a lady she is. What a woman she is to be able to live in the city. Imagine the nations of the earth whenever they come in and they go in from new moon to new moon and they worship and then they turn and go back out. And as they leave and they take a leaf and hand it one to another and they talk about their visitation to the great city and the great king. But you imagine another thing they're going to be talking about is the queen and how she was there and adorned in royal diadems and how that in the presence of God she is allowed to live day, oh my, day by day by day. And yet they come in under the new moon and they go back out and they come in again and they go back out. But you imagine as they're going, part of what they're conversing about is they'll be talking about you and saying, can you imagine how blessed it must be to live in the presence of the king every day? Can you imagine as they're going out and they're not just talking about the walls and the city and the king himself, but they're saying, my, how blessed them people, the bride must be. How blessed it must be to be right there and the waters of life streaming right down from the throne of God down to your backyard and coming out of your backyard, running down to your front yard. How blessed they are. Oh my, let me say to you today, yes, we are blessed. And I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to say it. Let me say it to you this morning. I am blessed to be a part of the elect church of Jesus Christ. I am blessed to have a fountain of living water. I am blessed to be a part of a message in the last day that is transforming people's lives. It is a blessing to be in the end time message. Praise be to God. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to be blessed. I am blessed today. I was blessed yesterday. I'll be blessed tomorrow. But then we come back to the question that is being asked. Who is she? Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? As the morning light breaks, as it did this morning, and before the sun is ever visible, the rays begin to raise across the earth. dispelling the darkness. And you're the bride as likened to the waking of the morning. Not the coming of the sun now, but the breaking of the morning, which breaks in degrees. And as the sun is rising over the horizon, though it's not yet visible, yet the bride is breaking the day and announcing he's on his way. Amen. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? The words here, the Hebrew words are Labana ab elabedain, which means from her whiteness or her bright shining. From her whiteness or her bright shining. Where in the world could you and I get any whiteness? Where in the world could we get any bright shining? And to her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It won't just be the Lord Jesus standing there in dazzling white, but it will be his moon clean. I said it will be his moon clean because she is the wife of the Son. In her stages, she is revealed in quarters as the manifestation of the light comes to the sun, from the sun to the moon, and she's revealed in the first crescent. And then she comes up to the second, up to the third, and then she's in full manifestation in the full moon. Then she begins to decrease as it begins to wane away and go back down, and she comes from the full down to the gibbons and on down. And what is it? It's an endless cycle that has been for thousands and thousands of years. It does not come to full moon and stay, but it comes to full moon and then it begins to go down and it goes lower and lower. Remember, the prophet tells us it was four death messengers that struck the church, and it will be four life messengers that will bring it back up again. Amen. The moon in her glory reflects what? The ordinance of God. Now we think of what man has been able to find out, how that the moon controls a tide and the moon controls the earth tilting on its axis at 23.5 degrees, and finding out that if it were not for the moon being there, that she would wobble totally out of her position. She would turn up on her side this way. The days would be 6 to 8 hours long. And you think of what little bit they've been able to find out. I wonder how much more the ordinances of God concerning the moon they have no idea about. Oh my, it's the same way with the presence of the church of the living God upon the earth today. They laugh at her, they make fun of her, they ridicule, but let them do what they want to do, because when the bride goes home, all hell's going to break loose on this world. And if you are left behind, you talking about a sad situation for you who know there is a rapture coming, and you have fooled around and not made peace with God. Oh church, it's time that we be so filled with the Holy Ghost that we lose sight of this whole world. God, by divine decree, ordained two great lights in the beginning that would begin to influence and affect the earth. As we said last night, the reclamation of God starting to use on the earth, and know the earth already existed, the sun and the moon, before Genesis chapter 1, or before chapter 2 rather, comes into view. And we know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and said, let there be light. This word is not an act of creation, but it is an act of moving about or moving something away. So the sun, the moon, the stars, they were already there. But God was simply taking the spoken word and creating and making an atmosphere by which they could shine. He could have put many moons around us if he'd wanted to. He could have given us half a dozen suns, but he knew one sun and one moon is enough. One son of God and one bride is enough. There's been churches, brides, but there must come one that has both mechanics and dynamics. Praise the Lord. She is the only one of her heavenly mother, Jerusalem. She was well favored, and she is now reflecting his glory. She is him. What he is, she must be. What he has, she must manifest. And there ain't enough devils in hell. There ain't enough people that hate us. It don't make no difference what Satan does. God will bring to pass his word. You say, I don't like it. Don't even matter at all. Won't even slow us down. Unbelief does not hinder God. Hallelujah. The moon rules the night. And the stars are her tiara. The moon rules the night. Look at how they are. And the stars add to her crown. There they are glistening in the background. And here is the gigantic moon as she stands there. And the tiara of the moon is all sparkling and glistening. And there's billions times billions of those stars and galaxies that are hanging right behind her. As she averages on her journey 238,855,000 miles from the earth. And yet her power is so great that she can begin to move by her gravitational force and pull the water on this side of the earth that's facing her and also on the other side. Oh my, why? Because God said, let there be a lesser light that will rule the night. Notice Solomon says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Now here we're talking about the bride being clear as the sun. Clear as the sun, being clothed with Christ. Clear as the sun, an identity that is so much from the divinity of the sun that she is as clear as he is. Lord Jesus. Without any spots. Without any dark places. Without any wrinkles. Without any such thing. Notice in James chapter 1 verse 17. James is again going to use spiritual astronomy to identify the work of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Okay, so God is the Father of lights. So God is light, we know. And then if God would father children, what would they be? That would make him the Father of lights. In him is no darkness at all. And if you ever get the Holy Ghost, ain't no more darkness left in you either. Now notice, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Now here again, this is a term that's used in astronomy, and it is one by which the planets or something in the solar system would begin to wobble out of its pattern, or it would move out of its rotation. Now it says the Father God has no warping, no wobbling, there's no moving. In him is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. You know, he comes into this existence and he begins to show himself in light and he fathers light children. This is why this world hates the light of God and love darkness. Amen. Watch again, Jesus saying in Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. No, I mean, I thought we was the moon. Well, we are. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Who is this? Who is she? Who is she that's as fair as the moon and as clear as the sun and as terrible as an army with banners? Nobody can love like her, and nobody will stand and fight to the death like her. A real shepherd that loves his flock will stand to the death and fight for that flock. That's right. He will take on every enemy that raises up itself against it. Now just so you can have a nice friendly reminder. I'm a man that loves God and I love God's people, but I will not tolerate any man, woman, boy, or girl, whether you're 5 or 385, to bring false doctrine and the influence of things contrary to the word inside this assembly. And I'm warning you up front, you try it, and I will confront you face to face. I don't care who you are, if you're a preacher, if you're a deacon, if you're a trustee, I will not allow it while I'm the shepherd. I said, I will not allow it. Why? I belong to an army. You shouldn't say that. Oh, but I should. I want the devil to know you ain't got no power.
place preacher for a pastor. You got a man that knows how to use a sword, and I will use it. I know how to put on a helmet. I know how to yield my shield of faith. I know how to fight. I know how to tear devil's ears off. I know how to slay them. I know how to do it, and I will do it. Oh my. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now notice how it comes. It comes from developing of glories. So there is a glory that is revealed. Then the elect of God walk into that developed glory, and once they have secured that developed glory, then God reveals more. Then they walk in that glory, they attain that glory, and God reveals more. So, you know, this is the thing that's so important. People say, well, what difference does it make how you dress and do this and the other? Look, sisters, you're not going to go in a rapture in glory if you can't dress decent. Your brothers are not going in a rapture and glory as long as you're hung up on pornography and this and that and other. You can forget it. You're not going into a rapture and glory if you've not attained physical glory on the outside. How can you go into rapture and glory, sisters, if you've not attained physical glory on your head? There's no way. So we move from glory unto glory unto glory unto glory until we are changed into the same image. So here's the illusion of the effect of looking into a mirror by which the light would shine upon the mirror and it would be able to reflect back on the face of the individual who's holding the mirror in the hand. So it is the law of our nature that we are molded and shaped and affected by those we fellowship with, those we listen to, and those we are around. Praise the Lord. Well, from this point on, it might get a little quiet and it might get a little bumpy, but we become assimilated into those with whom we have fellowship with. This is why it's so important that you're careful in what you fellowship with. That's exactly right. Now watch, in order that the divine image of God, which was in the beginning, of course, a man when he was created upon the earth, he was created with this divine image in him in the original creation of God. Once the man fell, then God, of course, was able to bring the attribute of redemption on display in order to bring this same image back into the man that had fallen before. So he lost this holy, godly image. And yet God had purposed before the foundation of the world that his attributes would be expressed. So he takes that very same man and he brings him back to the ministry of reconciliation in order to reconcile that man and place him back. God must restore the image, and God begins from the soul and works out. So God restores from the inside out and brings the body subject to the restored image that's in the soul. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we're not moving from the law. We're not talking about moving from the law to grace, but we're actually talking about stages of grace that are revealed from glory to glory. It's not just coming from the Old Testament law, thou shalt not, and then we come into grace and we're free. We can do anything we want to do now. I challenge you sometime when you get time, read the book of Exodus and find out when the children of Israel leave the land of Egypt. And they come out on Horeb and Sinai and all these great visitations of God. And God lays down a whole list of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. Can you imagine them thinking in their mind, I thought we was free. They was free from Egyptians. I don't like laws, Brother Donnie. I kind of like some laws. I'm glad there's laws that say a man can't walk in that back door and blow my brains out. My brains will look funny splattered all over that screen. You believe you live in a free nation? Now, tell what I want y'all to do. So tomorrow, maybe go out at Gates of Highland or go out to the ridges somewhere and buy you a lot out there to build you a house. Now, you live in a free nation. You live here in American, in a democracy. And then go out there and pull you a 12 by 60 trailer up there in the ridges and see if you're allowed to do it. Why? Because they have regulations and stipulations. And the people who live there are grateful they have regulations against single-wide trailers. You see, it depends on where you live. Now, if you live in, you know, on the side of the road somewhere, they have no restrictions, no regulation, none at all, then you probably don't like the regulations in the ridges. You'd like to pull your single wide trailer next door to a $1.5 million house and cause them up dots some super sweating. Cause you'd come right in there and bang the screen door going out of your trailer, have 3 goats, 2 hogs, 8 possums, and 14 cats on the outside, and then people next door would nearly die of a heart attack when they seen you coming in with your fenders wired in with baling wire on your car. So the people who live there are glad for the regulations. Hold on, Happy Valley. I am glad because I live in this bride subdivision that we have regulation. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't go here. Why? Because I live here. I like living in a clean neighborhood. Of course, if you're Laodicean and you're looking in the bride's neighborhood and says, too strict. Too strict. I like to live in the ridges, but I like my hogs out in the backyard with me. I like to have my 4 or 5 cattle out there in that backyard and 3 or 4 of my goats and everything. And I like this old single wide trailer. No, them folks in the ridges will shout if they know. If they knew you was planning on living in there and they'd drag out their articles and they'd say, oh my, no trailers. Hang tight with me, shall you? The bride looks over here in her regulations, and the regulations say, no whores. It looks over here and says, no liars, no adulterers, no bobbed hair, no painted face. And the bride says, glory! Glory! Hallelujah! You would turn this subdivision back into a Laodicean mess. Hallelujah. You see, our spiritual assimilation to Christ comes as we feed upon Him. But what we look at and what we read and what we really, really are. I ain't talking about 2 or 3 times a week in church. I'm talking about what you are outside of church. Now you watch people who are Christians a couple times a week, but yet the rest of the week they're Laodiceans. You can pretty well figure what image they're going to bear every day. Laodiceans. Faith in Christ and fellowship with Christ can only receive the highest degree and step of glory when the individual has had the image restored in the soul and they are constantly feeding and looking in the mirror at Christ. This is why I warn you fans about feeding on the image of preachers. Me included. Those of you who spend more time talking about this preacher and that preacher and that preacher and that preacher and that preacher than you do the Lord Jesus, it's easy to see what mirror you're looking at. You're wanting to become like that preacher. That preacher is your hero. I'm warning you. I'm warning you, you better not put your ultimate confidence in no man, because all men are human beings and they will fail. They will let you down. They will disappoint you. But put your ultimate confidence in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never let you down. Oh, my, conversion is but the first step in which the glory of God is able to be revealed in the individual's heart, to where she becomes fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. It doesn't happen immediately when we come to the Lord. We know that. So we are saved and set apart as a people which is different from the world. Notice, I love the way Brother Bam says this in the unveiling of God. As the light of the sun changes the seed from glory to glory, we also become more like Him as we live in His presence. We become more like Him as we live. Now, He didn't say feel His presence. I don't know how it is with you, but as we go on in time, the less and less and less I feel it. Oh, Brother Don, you mean you don't feel it? You preach without it? Sure do. Pray without it, study without it, go to church without it. I'm going to continue without feeling if I have to. But I know I'm in His presence because His presence is not feelings. But as I live in His presence, I know I'm being changed and being conformed into that image as I look into the mirror of His Word. Now notice He said we become more like Him as we live in His presence. I can be conformed to His blessed image as we walk with Him. Watch what the sun does. You plant a seed, what happens? That seed rots. Inside the seed is a life. The life comes forth, brings forth a stalk. Now that don't look like the first. There is Luther. It was a stalk. The stalk went on, and the first thing you know, it brought forth a tassel. Then it was the Western revival. Wasn't like the other. Then come along the Pentecostal revival. Brought forth the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What happened? Got fungus on the ear. How many Pentecostals can say amen to that? Former Pentecostals. I know they had it in my ears, had it on my nose, my eyes, my mouth, about everywhere. I had fungus all over me. Thank God I got a good fungus healing though. Malachi 4 is a really good treatment to take care of fungus. Now watch, he said, but got fungus on the ear, begins to look wrong. Then this thing, that thing, it don't look like the word. It's not like the rest of it, like the original grain. But God is still there to make it just the same. What does He do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. So watch the moon. She comes up, she's beautiful. And she stays there for so many days. And then you look out one night, and she's waned away down to the gibbons. And then you watch her. That's it. Oh, please don't go. And then after three or four days, whatever it is, you look back and she's reduced again. And then you look back and she's nothing but a crescent. And if you was depending on which part of the earth you've been in, and myself have been around, been able to travel in different parts of the earth, and you and I have this view, maybe many of you, the only view of the sun and the moon that you've ever seen is the view from the United States. But if you go out in the desert southwest, you'll have a little bit different view. If you go to Europe, you'll have a different view. If you go to Africa, you'll have a different view, or Trinidad, or wherever it is. And it shows you that where you are on the earth will be able to determine how it will look up here according to where you are. So some of you look at it from East Tennessee and you figure, man alive, I mean, right here is the only way to see the moon. I mean, you can't see it no other way. There is lots of other ways to see it. And that's the way it is, the denominational spirit around this message, that people want us to borrow their glasses in order to see what they're seeing. If you're not seeing, you're not seeing at all. I'm seeing all right. I said, I'm seeing all right. I tell you, friend, I never wore denominational glasses in Pentecost, and I sure ain't putting them on now. I never had no bishop over me in Pentecost, and I ain't getting one over me now. Hallelujah. My, what's this now? The mighty God unveiled. Now the word is a seed, and it cannot bring forth until the sun strikes it. The moon can strike it, and you can share your revelation, and you can talk to people and talk to people and talk to people. The moon is not what gives life. It's the sun. We have converted many people so-called to this message as the moon. That's why they're leaving. But if the sun ever converts them, they ain't got no place else to go. The sun has to be upon the sea to make it bear, to make it come forth. And that's the only way. You take the word of God in your heart and walk into the Shekinah glory. And when you do, it'll bring shewbread manna. So you take the word of God and walk into the Shekinah glory, and somehow the Shekinah, it changes this logos into showbread manna. Amen. Which is only for the priest, of course, after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. That's why other people take this and they go to church. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God. They debate and argue and fuss, and they never walk into the Shekinah. They never go into there and watch this word be changed into bread. We talk about being seed. I want to be seed too, but I don't want to just stop. I don't want to just be seed. I want to be seed ground up to be bread. I want to be bread for the master's table, the bread of his face. My marriage said, it's only for a separated people. The only thing that can eat if it's permitted to eat is the people that are permitted and knows it. Paul said here, changing from glory to glory. You see, finally it comes till it's back to its original glory. It's just like the seed of a morning glory. The seed of a flower. It falls into the ground. The seed of corn falls in the ground. What's the first thing that comes up? A little sprout. Then it goes to a tassel. From a tassel back to the original grain. That's exactly what the church has done. Come from Luther, Wesley, back to the original grain, back to its original glory, back to the glory it was at the beginning. The sun that rose in the east is the same sun that's manifesting the same thing in the west. Changing from glory to glory, it changed from pagan, amen, down into Luther, and from Luther down into Wesley, from Wesley out into Pentecost, and on, changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna. Now it's ripe. Now it's ripe. To bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry. The same Jesus. The same power. The same Holy Ghost. The same one that come down on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today from glory unto glory to glory and is back in its original seed. Come on, church. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same signs, same wonders, same baptism, same kind of people acting the same way. So we got the same word, the same power, the same signs, the same wonders. And this is the way we act. Turn the PA down, it's too loud. You think that's what they done on the day of Pentecost? Peter jumped out of there. Glory to God! I said, what a reproach. A drunk preacher. While these men are drunk, he said, hallelujah. We don't deny that we're not drunk. We are. But we're just not drunk like you think we are. This is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. And we're supposed to be the same kind of people acting the same way. I don't understand why message preachers don't like this quote. Oh, thou son, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, and boy, you go saying this, ah, oh, the prophet said, oh. He only said that to stumble Donnie Reagan. I'm stumbling right into it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You mean to tell me I've got a prophet of God that said things intentionally lies? Lies? These ain't lies, friends. Wake up, devil. Come on, come to, come to. Let me put some of this smelling sauce under your nose so you can come back too, devil. Because I'm going to read this quote again. Oh my, it's back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the same signs. Same wonders. Same baptism. Same kind of people acting the same way with the same power, the same sensation. You're not taking my sensation away from me. Amen. That's part of the original seed. Now notice he says it's from glory to glory. And the next will be changed from this glory into a body like his own glorious body where we shall see him. Abraham saw the same. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. What is that? Stages of glory. Stages of glory. Now you can't pick which one you want. That is God's succession just like it is with the moon. God gave the moon ordinances. She's never argued. Since the day God brought her into the orbit around this earth, whenever that was, thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, whenever it was, she's never debated with God. She's never argued with God. She's never fussed and said, I'm tired today, Lord. You mind if I take a week off? I do this every day and nobody appreciates me. Nobody sent me any cards. Nobody texts me. Nobody emails me. Nobody sends me thank you notes. Nobody even sends me flowers or candy. Amen. She don't do it to please you. She don't even do it to please the earth. She do it because it's God's ordinance. I don't go to church to please you. I don't go to church to please me. I go to church because my daddy wants me to go to church. And he give me a light too about it as well. I love to go to the house of God. I don't pray to please you. I don't live right to please you. I don't preach the way you want me to because you know why? You never call me. Hallelujah. I don't fight devils to please you. I don't live right to do it. I do it because it's an ordinance of God that's built in my soul. Just like the moon. I have a law in me. I have an ordinance in me to live right. I have an ordinance in me. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody preached with me this morning. I've got an ordinance in me to go to church. I've got an ordinance in me to raise my hand. I've got an ordinance in me to live according to the Word of God. It's built in. How many of you have ever had to call me on Sunday morning? Saturday night, Wednesday night. Brother Donnie, you coming to church tonight?
No.
No, I'm down. No, I ain't coming.
No.
I'm staying home. I'm on stream.
No.
Now, Brother Donnie, does that mean you ain't down? I'm probably down more than you are. But down is only temporary. The ordinance is eternal. Down is only a temporary setback that the ordinance will overpower eventually. This too, oh my, this too will pass. It did not come to stay, but it come to pass. I said it come to pass. Now one day we'll look back at the things that seem so difficult and we'll realize through heavenly hindsight what a minor trivial thing it really was. Notice this again in the Mighty God Unveiled, paragraph 160. Now notice, we see how it was changed since Calvary. We are invited to share His glory. So when God places the earth up here and turns her up, and at that time, of course, her axis was like this. There was no seasons. The temperature was the same all the way around. Now God made her thus to where she would have the ability to change from zero tilt to 23.5 degrees tilt and still be able to function properly. But He knew she would need assistance after the fall in order to help her keep from wobbling so bad. So He placed her a satellite out there called the moon and empowered the moon with so much gravity that maybe the moon wasn't necessarily needed before the fall, but God knew the earth was going to do this. She was going to fall. So when Adam fell, the earth fell. When Adam tilted off of his axis, He's leading the earth to tilt off of hers. And what did God do? He already had a plan in the sky. He already had a moon out yonder that would help that earth once she tilts over and she is inclined to wobble. And God put the moon out there and said, now you watch her. Hold her. She goes to wobbling off into worldliness. Burn their hides. If they go to wobbling off into things of the world, let the power of the moon and the gravitational pull, let it begin to pull on them. And when they go to wobbling and wobbling, let that pull. Whew. Have you ever looked at pictures of the earth, either from Hubble or from the shuttle or from whatever that they take these out there with? And you see her, this great big beautiful blue planet, as they call her, with this little bitty tiny blue haze that's around her. And you look and you see Africa and you see India. But yet you look at this ball and it's hanging out here in space. And here's India on the side. Like this. So here's the ball. Like this. And India's on the side. So you're out in the middle of space spinning around. And you're on the side of the planet. How come we're not like this? We're all spinning this morning. Why aren't we dizzy? You're not, the people are not on the North Pole, and we're all standing up flat on the earth. But much of us, you this morning, are on the side of the earth. And you're hanging out in space on the side of the earth. What keeps you straight? I feel the pull. How come we're not all walking like this and we're all dizzy and we're just bumping into one another? Why? It makes sense. Well, do the same thing on this wall. Do I have somebody that'll try it? We'll take 4 or 5 men and just plaster your feet to that wall, and you stand there perpendicular and stand there like you're doing on the earth. God never made you to stick to a wall. Myself, I look, I know I'm weird. Y'all already knew that anyway. You're weird. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, here I am, right down, right there. And I'm standing up. I'm thinking I'm standing up like this. But actually, I'm standing out like this. But how come I think I'm standing like this? Now follow my thought. This is why people thought for millennia that the earth was flat. They never had a perception that human beings would be able to live upon an earth like this. Do you understand Galileo was a Christian? Galileo was a Christian, and he went to the house of God one day to worship, and he looked up there and he saw a light moving back and forth, and he began to wonder about the stars and the planets. That was the birth of his insight and desire to study astronomy. A Christian. But when man got out there and began to, they thought Christopher Columbus would go out so far and he'd come up to the end of the earth and go boop. But God had another glory waiting for Christopher Columbus. What was that glory? Sailing beyond what most everybody said, don't go, you'll never come back. Oh, they hand out red Kool-Aid up at that church. Or somebody told me they worship an idol. Or somebody told me this and that and the other. But some of you was able to go beyond what people said. And you found the earth wasn't flat at all. It was a circle which represents eternity. And instead of falling off, you went over like this. And now you ought to be sailing like this, but you ain't. Now how can I be standing like I'm standing here this morning? Because I've got a funny head when it comes to being dizzy. The least little thing makes me dizzy. I've never been able to swing on a swing, ride a roller coaster, do any of that sort of thing. I can't hardly push my grandkids back and forth many times like this. I get sick. So I really should be in bad shape this morning. I'm standing out like this and the earth is like this. And I didn't know that till a few years ago when somebody took a picture of me. And you. And let me see how we actually are. So by another vision, it broke my perception of how I was standing. Oh, God can only help us this morning. To break into a vision, Brother Jim, of the way he sees and the way he looks. And not so much, oh, we're thinking we're like this. We all live on a flat place and there's no nowhere. Oh, if we could only step back. And what did they have to do? Man could not take this picture as long as it was on the earth. But man had to leave the earth and get above the earth and get back a away from the earth and then take it from here down and show that the earth was a circle moving out and here's the continents and this and that and the other. Oh, if God could help us today to move beyond the earth and catch a picture of glory, I wonder how we would see ourselves. Listen to this and let us in church age. We haven't seen him, but we have felt him. We know him now as much as our limiting senses can let us. But one day it will be face to face. This is for this age. Praise God. He is coming at the end of this age. Partial realization will be made perfect. Realization, completed realization. Notice now, watch him give 3 degrees of this realization. Partial realization, perfect realization, completed realization. Can you imagine scientists years ago that would have looked out through their mind, they thought, well, this and this and this is the way the universe is and the earth is totally flat. But something happened and totally changed man's view. You imagine Christopher Columbus himself might have even been scared, and even the people that was on the ship scared, said, oh Lord, when we got there so far, it's just going to be like a waterfall. We're going to go over. And he went out and he kept going. And he went into Malachi 4, and then he come on to Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, and then he began to advance on farther and farther. I said, well, we ain't fell off yet. I mean, but there's still water here, and there's still plenty of swimming room left. Oh my, you say you've gone off the deep end, have I? I'm still swimming. I'm still moving. I'm still going. I still believe there's water in front of us. Oh, notice this. He says, hallelujah. We have been looking through a glass darkly, but soon it will be face to face. We have been going from glory to glory, but soon it will be right in the glory, and in His glory we'll shine. We shall be like Him, wondrously like Him, Jesus, our Savior divine. Isn't that wonderful? We are complete in Him. That is true. He would not lie to us about that, but one day we shall be changed. In the atoms. I'm doing my body the greatest favor I could do it. My soul is leading me to a body change. Oh my. We will be swallowed up in life. Then we will realize realization. So when Christopher Columbus keeps sailing and sailing and sailing, he realized realization of truth that the planet was a sphere, not a flat plateau. How did he do it? By sitting over in England or over in Spain somewhere and waiting and say, well, glory to God, I'll tell you one thing. Hallelujah. My daddy died here. Amen. I'm going to go out there about as far as my daddy did, and I'm bringing my boat back. Hallelujah. It was good enough for daddy, and it's good enough for me. I'm glad it wasn't good enough for Christopher Columbus. I like living here. Praise the Lord. It was a new world. Oh my. I'm reminded of a little Kentucky born hillbilly. And when the angel of God appeared to him and said, you'll pray for monarchs and kings. His daddy's, his teacher said, you, a seventh grade education, pray for kings. Get next to yourself, Billy. But he said to me, it was Luke 17:30. To me, it was Malachi 4. Billy, you'll go off the deep end. Don't you do it. But Christopher, Billy Branham, hallelujah. Amen. Said, I've got to go. I'm on a spearhead of revival that will go around the world. Did it do it? What did it find? Bride land. Bride land. He found bride seed. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Skip down just a bit, Brother Brad. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now here Paul actually goes back to the beginning when the earth was without form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And Paul brings a parallel to the human being and he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Donnie Ray, in the face of Tim Pruitt, in the face of some other preacher. If that's where you're looking for the glory, you'll miss the final glory of the rapture. This glory is only seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I have just a few more minutes of your time? In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Watch this in the fourth seal. Period. That's all. Now the world without form and void, and I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something. Now this is what theologians call the pre-Adamite world. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then something happens to where the earth is standing here in this chaos. We know God would have not have left the earth in this dark and chaos. He's a maker of perfect gifts. So something happened. Well, the Satan was put over the earth. The angels fell. He knows exactly what it was. But we pick up and resume on the earth when God is now purposed to reuse the earth or rebirth it. And God writes the pattern of your life in the cycle of the earth's rebirth. Then what? The seeds from some former civilization was laying on the earth. So here's the earth just turning and my, she's in a chaos. Turning and tossing and spinning and my, the darkness and the water moving over and something has happened. A cataclysmic change has happened. The earth is just turning somersaults as it were. And there's no moon there to keep her straight. There's no ordinance of God. So she just... God looked at it and God couldn't take it no more. And God said, let there be light. And out of the darkness. If you can comprehend it, God sent his word right in the middle of that darkness. Let there be light. And there went the light of God. And out of the darkness, and there was light. And those seeds were laying there from some other civilization. So here you come to the earth. The water is broke around the earth that was bearing you. Your mother. So the water breaks. And you come out of a darkened room. And you take the breath of life. Lord Jesus. And the seed was laying in you. From some former civilization. Not that you was little boys and little girls now, but we were thoughts in the mind of God. So God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our heart. And the seed, laying there from that former civilization, and that former civilization was called the Lamb's Book of Life. And you went, you may have won 5, 10, 15, 20, 45, 50, 60 years. But eventually the light of God would shine upon that seed from that former civilization. You might start out a Catholic. You might start out a Baptist. You might come through all seven church ages, and a lot of us did. You start out thinking, what you're doing, you're going from glory to glory to glory. Don't downplay what they give you, at least if they led you the right way. But look at where you are today. Oh, praise be to God. Is there still darkness around? Is there trouble around? Is there heartache around? Is there difficulty around? That's right, it is. But God has spoken. God has spoken. That same God that spoke to those seeds has spoken to seeds sitting right here today. Let's stand. Oh my. So the hearts of men are like this dark covered globe of the earth. But God knows it's time for a son or daughter to be born. And the Spirit of God begins to move. Maybe you pass a church sign and see John 3:16, or you see a tract in a bathroom somewhere or whatever it is. And something begins to move on your heart. You know the way the message was propagated in one of the African nations I've been into, Zimbabwe. Someone had found a book, a half of a message book in a bathroom. And it was the bottom half with the address on it. Wouldn't done any good to have been the top half. So they found the bottom half. That's whenever Roy Borders did, it was called spoken words that they wrote over here. They had no idea even what the message was about. The man that did that got all these message books and started going into universities. Brothers of Jeremiah and many of these brothers that's come into the message from Harare and all the different places. And this man was nothing but a carrier. A few years after being the message, he left and went right back to the world. What was he? A carrier. I ain't going to be no carrier. I'm going to be bread. You want to be a carrier? Not me. I want to be bread. I want to be seed that's turned into bread in the presence of God so I can be laid on the master's table. Who is she? Who is she? Who is she? She has this resemblance to the moon, yet she's as clear as the sun. And yet she can be so hard and so battling, militant. Who is she? Well, I'll tell you in case you wonder. It's the elect lady. It ain't the Laodicean queens and concubines and all that sort of thing. Oh, no. It's the elect lady. Miss Grace. I want you to think of the terms that have been placed upon you. Luther could never look at his people and call them Miss Grace. Wesley, nor Pentecost. What would move on a prophet of God to call you, and that title wasn't given you to the end of his ministry, Miss Grace? What denomination, what system, what preacher would ever dare to call you by the very thing you needed the most? Grace was something we received, something that we was unworthy of. That's what pretty much we thought. But for our name to be changed to Miss Grace? Praise be to God. How could that be done? Because somebody went beyond the earth and looked down and saw it's not flat. Wow. Everybody don't live on the top part of the earth, on the North Pole. How in the world is that happening? Look right down there hanging on the side. There's Harry in the bed. The United States is right there and Tennessee's right there and he's laying down and he's on his head. How in the world is that happening? Gravity. But I ain't got enough gravity where I can't do this. Now, if I had so much, I'd be wore out. I'd be like the sloth. Time I got to church, said, "Church, you're dismissed. I'm wore out. Gravity wore me down to a frazzle just getting up. I've been 3 hours getting ready for church. So I'll see y'all next Wednesday. We'll try again. But I've got just enough gravity to keep me suspended, hanging out like this, spinning around on the globe. But I can still shout when the power hits me. I can still jump up and down when the power... How can I do that? Because all the laws are working together and they're working in my body. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, who is she? This day, Lord, around the world, in Norway, in Germany, in England, the services are already gone. New Zealand, Australia, different time zones where your people have gathered. Lord, as I looked at a picture the other day sent to me from a group in Uganda, they were gathered, Lord, because they had no building. They were gathered there under a tree, reminding me of when I was in Kenya years ago and preached to several hundred under a big tree. Lord, whether they gathered under a tree today or a building or a school, Father God, they gathered under the auspices of your word. Lord, as I stood several years ago in Tanzania and I saw former Maasai that had been converted to the word. I saw former tribes, people, Lord, that lived in holes in the ground. And before their conversion to the word, they wear no clothes. Hallelujah. But yet the light progressed even in the darkest places of Africa and India and around the world. Don't even have electricity to turn a computer on. They don't have no stream. They don't have no monitor. They don't have such a thing. But yet, Lord, somehow, maybe as some little preacher on a bicycle that was bought from this church went pedaling down through there, Lord, even among some of them tribes people that still eat human beings and they risk their lives of going down in there. But Lord, being in touch with the sun, the moon, just can't keep it to herself. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Maybe we can't go, Lord. Maybe most of these people will never go overseas and go here and there, but may we be able to do our part, Lord. Dear Jesus, shine on us, Lord. Oh, Son of God, shine on us. Lord, we bear the resemblance of the moon. Our atmosphere is so thin as a red light's night. A footprint can last hundreds and thousands of years on the moon and never be disturbed. The moon rover tracks that were made on the moon are still there. The footprints of Buzz Aldrin and all the different ones who walked upon the moon is still there because there's no storms on the moon to be able to take it away. So whatever scars is there, they've been there for a long time. She don't glisten. She don't shine on her own. She's not an luminous object by her own power. But it's when the sun turns and shines on her. And she's right in the way, as it were. And then we will look up in the night sky. And there she is. Oh, Lord Jesus. People are hurting. They're dying, Lord. May they be able to look around in this night sky and find a Christian. A Christian, Lord, that loves God and loves humanity. It's one thing, Lord, I love about Brother Branham. Brother Branham didn't just love the followers of this message. He was not cliquish and clannish the way we are. We become so cliquish that we come down, well, if they're not in the message, and then if they're not in our church, and they're not following our preacher, they're not even going. That's not the spirit this message has brought in. That spirit is Antichrist. That's not the way you look at it, Lord. It's not even your will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Lord, help me to be a light. Help me to reach out to those, Lord, that will never accept the message of this end time. To show them that there's a real Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord God. Help us, Father, to be a light on our job. Every day that we live in this world and rub shoulders with people, may we do everything we can, Father, as the moon, to be able to shine our borrowed light. Grant it, I pray, Father. And may we like to be remembered today before the presence of God. You want to be a reflector. You want to be a real moon. Many of us are trying to generate our own light and our own power. Forget it. You're not called to do that. You're called to be a reflector. Quit trying to make your ideas and your projections. And just be simple moon rocks. I've told you before, if you've ever seen the pictures of the rocks and the dirt that's brought from the moon, it don't shine, it don't glow, it don't glisten. It looks like an ordinary rock out of New Mexico or Arizona or somewhere. A handful of dirt. It don't shine, it don't glisten. The sooner we find ourselves and realize what the human part is, the more the light can shine on us. You're a pile of dirt. I'm talking about the human part. I said you're a pile of dirt. It's God's grace that shines on our hearts. Oh my. Oh Jesus. Who are we today, Lord? I stand 6 foot, 170 pounds, something like that. Lord God, who am I? Who am I that the light of God would shine? Who are we, Lord, back in the middle of nowhere? Lord, a little country church. Who are we that the great I am would come down among us? Hallelujah. Lord, I know a lot of churches don't want it, but we want this same quote. The same signs, the same wonders, the same power. All they don't want, let us have. And no, we're not following signs, Lord, but they are supposed to follow me. Hallelujah. All the message folks, many of them wants theology and a bunch of debating and fussing disciples after themselves. We want Jesus. We want the power to set the captive free, Lord. Deliverance. I'm not looking for disciples. I'm not looking to set up followings after me all over the world, Lord. Lord God, I don't care if they even know I ever lived, but if I can lead somebody to you and get the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, my life will not be in vain. If all I make is Reaganites around the world, what have I accomplished? If all I make is people in South Africa that follow me, and people in Kenya and Zimbabwe and the United States and Canada, what good have I done if I've not pointed them to you, Lord? Oh, Jesus, help us today, Lord. Help us to get our out of the way, Lord. May it be you, Lord Jesus. May it be you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The best I remember, Lord, it was my mama. And I thought about her today on Mother's Day. I wish she'd been alive where I could have called her. But I was thinking about it yesterday. As a little boy, I looked up in the night sky and saw the moon, and mama told me, Donnie, you see that man in the moon? And it took me a little bit as I began to look. But as I looked, I could see what she's talking about. But now as I look through different eyes, I'm wondering, is it a man or is it a woman? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is she? Who is she? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun. Oh, the spiritual image I'm seeing in the moon. It's not a preacher. It's not an organization. It's a woman. Oh, I see. I see it's a woman. It's a woman with a wedding gown on. It's a woman with a wedding gown on. And she has a crown about her head. A royal diadem. And the stars are her tiara. Hallelujah. She's walking with the brightness of the noonday sun. Who is she? Is it Israel? Is it 144,000? Is it a system? Is it a move? It's the elect lady. Miss Grace. Oh God, I trust today every one of us here are a part of her. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may we raise our hands in the presence of the sun. May we raise our boulders, our rocks, our dirt. May you raise your crevices, your cracks, as it were, where the meteors have hit you, left scars. May we raise it in the presence of the sun. Let's see if he won't come by this way today and shine on us. Maybe you're an eclipse in your life. Maybe you're in the gibbon stage of your life or the waning stage. Maybe you're in the first quarter and you're coming out of a great test, but you're still not where you feel you need to be. May God come by today and strengthen you in a little bit more of the sun as you will turn around just a bit. Because it's all view, really. It's all view. It's where we are on the earth. What caused the moon to appear that way is because of where we are. If we were on the planet Mars, it would look totally different. If we was in Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, all of this would look totally different. We'd never see it this way. It's our elliptical view of where we are. As I heard one scientist say not long ago, whoever put the earth where she is put, put her here in such a way that the view of the universe could be seen from here like it is seen nowhere else. If we would have been put in another arm of our Milky Way galaxy, it would look totally different. So we believe you put us here in this arm, out in this little habitable zone, as it's called, to where we could look and see our moon and see all the other planets. Oh God, may you open up a spiritual habitable zone for us today. We know if we was just a little bit in toward the sun, our earth would be so hot it would melt. If we was a little bit farther out, it would be so cold. Life would never be on it. But you put us just exactly in the right orbit. Amen. Put us where we need to be today, Lord, where we will be habitable by the Holy Ghost. A little bit in too much, Lord, and we get fanaticism, as it were. A little bit too far out, we become cold formals. But put us right in the middle of the road, where we got sweetness and gentleness and the move of the Holy Ghost and the knowledge of the Word all just mixed together right in the habitable zone. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord God. We magnify your name. You are worthy, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Bless your name, Lord. Who is she? Fair as the moon. Clear as the sun. Terrible as an army with banners. She is your beloved. She is your wife. O King's daughter, come, King's daughter. Thy feet, look at thy feet, the shoes that are on thy feet. Thy navel is as a goblet. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, pull us back from the earth, as it were. May we look through a heavenly vision. May we sail beyond, as it were, Christopher Columbus and his restrictions of what he had been taught. May we keep moving from glory to glory. May the fear of falling off the earth, may it leave us, Lord. Praise God. May we soar in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know you'll never lead us outside of your word. Praise God. Praise God. Can we give him a wave offering? Oh my. The stars bless him this morning. The leaves are clapping their little hands. Can you imagine the calcium, the potash, the petroleum, and all that that was laying down in the roots of the trees? What happened to them in the wintertime? They begin to suck all that up. And now they've put forth their leaves and the wind comes through and the rain. And what them leaves do, they begin to blow in the wind and they clap their little hands. They're clapping their hands. What were they? Former calcium, former potash, petroleum. Oh, praise God. What was I? Former unconverted person, former sinner, former whatever I was in the world. But I was sucked up through the tree of life. And now I'm taking my little hands and clapping them to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got my leaves. I've got my life. I've got my color back. My, the trees that have stood out here so barren. But now look at them. They're beautiful. They've got their color back. They've got their life back, as it were. We who were dead, the seed laying in us from some former civilization. But we got our life back. We got our leaves. We got our fruit. We got our bark. We got our fellowship. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you today, Father. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing something together before we go. You love him, children. Are you part of this that I've preached about today? Don't just sit around here and catch the reflection from a member of the moon. Your mother, your daddy, your pastor, somebody else. Do like the people from Sychar. Go and hear him yourself. So he can shine upon your life. And you can say, as they told the woman, now we do not believe because of your word. We have heard him ourselves. Amen. I have met him for me, and I know he is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's worship him just a bit before we go.
Father, I see that you would draw a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Sons and his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to
the King. Let's worship him together. Let's bless his name. He's worthy. Amen, Lord.
Father, I hear it growing louder.
Louder.
The song of your the saints of every nation are awakening to see. From our hearts there comes a sound.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song.
Oh, my God.
A song to the King.
Hello.
Let the worshipers arise. Let his sons, his daughters sing. See that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my need. Let the worshipers arise. Sons, his daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, Lord. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let all his sons, his daughters sing. to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes this anthem, oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Your name, Lord. Father, we ask you'll go with each of us today as we depart this place. May the grace of God shine upon our hearts. May we do our best with this borrowed light. May we realize we do not own it. It is not ours. It is borrowed light. Every revelation we have that's true, you have given it to us. How can we take human pride in that which is borrowed from you? Every illumination that you've given to our hearts, it's borrowed. May we not be selfish and foolish to think that we deserve any praise or credit for it. But Lord, may we take this borrowed light. Oh, may we gather up. Help me to say it right, Lord. May we gather up as the moon gathers the light from the sun. May we gather a compilation, as it were, of the Savior's sufferings, of the Savior's love, of the Savior's forgiveness, of the Savior's knowledge, of the Savior's promises of His return. May it be a compilation that'll compile these together, Lord, and may it strike each of our hearts that will be seasoned just right. We'll have the doctrines that we need. We'll have the love that we need. We'll have the fervency that we need. We'll have all of that, and it'll be pulled from the source of the sun. And our lives will be aflame. Our lives will be reflecting borrowed glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grant it, dear God. Go with us now. I pray, Father, bring us back again, if it be pleasing to you, Wednesday night, as once again we come to sit at your table. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Praise God. Amen. I love the way David says this in Psalms 119, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said, I will keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. May God help each of us to do exactly the same. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you, saints.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Greatness of all mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of all mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we